Tonight we're going to be talking about prayer and how we as the people of God have not just that responsibility, but privilege. And it is a privilege to talk to God on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of the congregation. But really, we have the privilege and the honor of going to God on behalf of our world. And so I want us to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I've asked a few brothers to lead some prayers on tonight, and we'll talk for a few minutes, interact if you desire, have a comment. But Paul, of course, was telling Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2. And so when we consider this, this ought to remind us of our responsibility. It also should keep us vigilant and diligent and remind us that we have the responsibility to go to God on behalf of all men. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. And here's the reason why: that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so you ask yourself, what is supplication? We know what it is to pray. But to supplicate, if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 18, and we come across a widow, and many of us have read this particular account, we're familiar with it, but in verse number 1 through verse number 8, here we have the illustration given to us what supplication is. And so all supplication is prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. Did I say that right? I think I said that right. And so supplication is that idea of being persistent, being very pointed, and going to God just about that, consistently and persistently. And so in Luke 18, verse number 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, not faint, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet, watch this, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, one more passage. Go back to the book of Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, chapter 65. We'll make a few comments. If you want to make a few comments, that's fine, after we look at Isaiah 65. God always hears the righteous. He always hears the righteous. And I believe that Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, actually is divine commentary on this particular text. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, Brother Chad, do you mind reading Isaiah 65, verse 24?
It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear.
Here, God is telling his people that he already knows what they're going to ask. And he's already answering, even while they're speaking. That's a very powerful concept and idea. And so when you consider Matthew 6 and verse number 8, we know that God knows what we need when? Before we ask. Now, in the context of what I want us to pray about right now, I believe I asked Brother Estes earlier to lead a prayer, did I not? And I'm going to ask him to lead us off. I also asked Brother Royce, and I think that I asked you. I asked you to do a song, right? Okay. I know I'll ask Brother Glenn. Brother Glenn, prepare your mind to pray as well, okay? And so I want us to pray for our nation because we need to. But not just this one time. Brother Royce said something, and being a fellow elder, I appreciate him bringing this to my attention the other day. Someone must have talked to him about adding more prayers in on our singing night. Was that, I thought I heard that correctly. And I thought that was an excellent point, because we do need to talk to God more about us, about our nation. And I often wonder if we don't have time to talk to God together, and we don't do that when we come together, when will we do that? And so we can't fall on the idea, well, I pray to God in my own personal life. Yes, but the people of God should come together and do that as well. And so I'm going to ask Brother Estes, if he doesn't mind, to come and pray for our nation. Even though Brother Larry brought some of those ideas up, we cannot pray for our nation enough, our leaders enough. Perhaps God, through one of us, one of his people, perhaps God will work through one of us to help turn some of these things around. Maybe not. But we want to do all that we can with the gospel, with prayer, through righteous living, through holiness. We want to do our part. All right. Any comments before I have Brother Estes come up? And then after Brother Estes, I ask Kipton to lead a song. All right. So he'll be leading a song for us. And so be working with him as well. Brother Estes.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this evening with our heads bowed in humble heart, Father. Just so thankful for this opportunity to come worship you in spirit and in truth. At this time, Heavenly Father, we come on your behalf, praying for our nation, Heavenly Father. Praying for the leaders of this nation. Praying, Heavenly Father, that instead of leaning on their own understanding, Heavenly Father, they turn to you for wisdom and for guidance. Heavenly Father, not only for our president and for our vice president, but also, Heavenly Father, for our governor here in Texas and all the governors across this land. We pray, Heavenly Father, that their decisions that they make, we pray, Heavenly Father, that they look to your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, for just everything that's going on in the United States. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as your children, we can have the right mindset, that when we go out into the world, we can be a light, Heavenly Father, that's shining so bright that we might be able to make change, Heavenly Father. We know, Father, that in this life we'll make our mistakes, Father, but we pray, Heavenly Father, that we can have that repentance of heart to make things right before it's everlasting too late. Continue, Heavenly Father, to watch over our teachers, our military, our first responders, Father, that fight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we can get behind those people and support them in any way that we can. Once again, Heavenly Father, we're blessed and we're thankful to be living in this nation. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that the things that's going on right now, Father, that we know that you are in control, Father. We know that at the end of the day, you're the one, Father, that's in control. And we just pray as Christians that we don't lose focus on those types of things, Father. No matter what goes on in this world or what goes on in our personal lives, we know, Father, that you are in control. We pray that we don't never lose focus, Father. We love you so much. Please forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I will be leading 708, walking in sunlight, 708. I'll be leading verses 1 and 3. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep veil, Jesus I said.
Kept them doing that. Look at Mark 1:35 real quick. In Mark 1 verse 35, we come across our Lord and Master, who the Bible demonstrates to us his prayer life, at least one of the opportunities that he had to pray. I often use this passage, and usually when preachers use particular passages all the time, members are probably asking, are there any other passages that he can use? Well, when you stop and you think about this one, I mean, I never fall out of love with this passage because it says a lot about him. And it should say something to us, all right? It should say something to us. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to, now notice this, a solitary place. And what did he do? He prayed, communicated with God. Now keep in mind, when you think of the book of Mark, it is a book that demonstrates Jesus on the go, straightway. I think some 42 times you find the idea of Jesus on the go, straightway, going here, going there, going, always on the go. But Brother Royce, never so busy that he didn't stop and talk to his father. And let me ask you a question. Why do we find ourselves so busy that we can't talk to God? That we don't talk to him as often as we should? I can speak, you know, I can say because in my mind, I'm doing something else. When you can stop and say, you know what, I need to talk to the Lord about some things real quick. And before I can start complaining, gossiping, or being upset about my nation, my president, and trust me, I understand this very well, maybe I need to go to a quiet place and pray for them. Pray for them. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just think that sometimes we have to train ourselves.
That's a good point.
Into knowing that's what we get up, first thing when we get up in the morning and read scripture, and we do it when we go to bed. And if, you know, sometimes during the day when I'm doing people that I know are not within the Lord's church, I find myself having to sing songs in my mind, and praises or praying, because, I mean, not that I don't speak to them.
Yeah.
But still sometimes I have to do that.
Good. Anyone else? Yes.
So, question, does prayer to God or conversation with God have to be in such a formal manner of, you know, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name? Or can it be a conversation, a daily conversation with the Lord?
It's like you pick up where you left off
earlier,
you know? Because the Lord knows we have things going on in our lives. He knows that. And kind of picking up where you left off earlier. But there are some times in which it is formal. But that's not the point that you're making, you know? And you think about conversations you have with people that you really care about, or you haven't talked to them in a few weeks, and you pick up the phone and you pick up right where you left off. Well, our relationship with the Father ought to be such. All right. Anyone else? That's a great point. Yes, Brother Eric. I'm sorry.
A lot of times I'm by myself, so I do a lot of having to talk to Him, because, you know, if I'm feeling down, I don't want to feel down. So I feel like getting in His Word and letting Him speak to me through that. But also when I'm alone, I feel like it's His time. Especially in the morning, like Mary said, getting up in the morning, going to bed. Even when I can't sleep, I get the Bible out, and I want to hear Him. I want to talk to Him. You know, I know that I can't see, but I think I still see better than I don't see. To getting His, wanting to talk to Him and hear Him speak. You know, it's just a different life that I have now, even being in this church, even too. So, being with, hearing Him speaking, and me speaking to Him is probably the only relationship that I really need in these last couple of years when your family turns against you. You know, I feel better that I'm in His family now.
It's good.
To not even worry about what I don't have anymore, because it just takes you away, you know.
That's right.
It makes you feel better. I mean, I'm here today. Like, you know, I could be down with things happen during the week, but I said, well, you know, put that behind me. All about you.
That's right. Anyone else? Yes, Miss Tony.
How many times, especially in this day and age, we forget or that we depend on God. We can't do this. We've got to depend on Him. And through communication with Him, strengthens us.
That's right. Anyone else? Like Philippians 4. Yes, brother. No, go ahead.
Think about morning prayer, and a good brother in Christ wants to make the observation that he'll probably hurt it too. But you know, if we learn how to pray more in the morning, we probably have fewer things to ask for forgiveness for that night. You know, you're supposed to be praying for all things and all, and praying to live a better, stronger life. To help us each time praying for what we didn't do or maybe what we did and should have done.
You know, that's the second time you've said that. You know, the first time we was having coffee, and it struck me then. And when you said it again, it struck me again. And you're right, you know, that morning prayer, that morning devotional time with the Lord, it kind of steers you in the direction you need to go if you're really allowing it to steer you. And so you get up on the wrong side of the bed and you don't make contact with heaven, there's no telling what direction you might go in. And so appreciate that. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, Paul would say in verse number 6, I wanted to add something to the last point of supplication and prayer, because remember, according to Colossians 3:15, that we ought to be thankful that we're in Christ. We ought to be thankful that we're in the church. And Paul adds thankfulness to prayer and supplication. Braswell, are you there? Read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Yes, sir, please.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
What do we get out of those passages other than what I just stated concerning thankfulness? All right, not being anxious, worrisome. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, I'm not speak for everybody, but we worry about our nation, don't we? We worry about it. Why? Because we got youngsters that's coming up behind us, and we want them to experience some of the blessings that we've experienced as a nation. And so that's a concern. But the Bible teaches us not to worry. How many feet can you add to your life by worrying, to your height by worrying? None. We got this good-looking, strapping young man with the beard in the back. What are you, 6'3"? He's 6'3". Worrying will not add any inches to that strapping young man back there. Not at all. So what is the Bible teaching us? Don't be anxious. Don't be worrying. Because you cannot benefit your life by doing so. Well, Brother Mike, that's easier said than done. I don't believe the Lord said it was going to be easy. He said, do it, though. All right, what else do we see in those passages? And then we're going to have Brother Glenn Braswell pray for us in general, for the congregation, for our nation. We just want to continue to ask God to be with us and our nation, our leaders, even leaders of the Lord's church, pray for them. Yes.
In verse 7, it's saying the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. So as a product of our prayer, that word keep, it's to guard or protect with military force.
Good. To guard or to protect with military force, to keep. So you have prayer, you have supplication, you have thanksgiving. Those three things. And maybe some people, and I say S-O-M-E, some people have these mental issues because they don't have this in their life. Well, we do know this. If you was to add this to your life, it would make you better. Now, that I know for sure. And so that's going to keep guard. The idea there, I believe Proverbs 4:23, guard thy heart with all diligence, is the idea of a fortress. So you got a fortress around your heart. But it's the peace of God that's going to do that. As a matter of fact, the peace of God will help us even in prayers, thanksgiving, supplication. One of the hardest things for people to be sometimes is thankful. I am thankful to hear some people say positive things about our nation. Sometimes that reminds me of not being one who is always complaining about it. And so, Brother Glenn, pray for us that we're not anxious and that we're not complainers, but we're focusing on Jehovah, because sometimes we do that. Anyone want to make any comments before we have a word of prayer? Anyone? You want to lead another song after him, Brother Glenn?
Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, our blessed God of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercy and comforting, We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, when we have issues of life, we can come to Thee in prayer and faith and asking, seeking You while You are near us, knowing that You have our thoughts already in Your mind. But let us ask in faith, knowing that You are the true living God, that You will comfort us when we face afflictions. We know that Thy Word teaches us how we must seek Thee first, the kingdom of God and righteousness, knowing that righteousness will exalt a nation when the faithful children of Yours are leading the way, the true soldiers of Christ being the leaders. We pray for the congregation, the churches of Christ will be teachers of the leaders of men. They'll carry on, they'll pass the mantle on to be taught how to be true good elders, to take the commandments that teaches elders how to lead a flock, to be the shepherds of the flock, to feed the congregation with Thy Word, the true living Word, the Word that gives us life, the Word that teaches us that Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed earth to give His life for us, that through that death that we have a resurrection of life, eternal life, if we're faithful unto Thee. But we do pray for this country. We thank You for the freedom we have in Christ. We pray for the leaders of this congregation will seek Thee for wisdom, not their wisdom. Because we know that Your thoughts and ways are much higher than our ways. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the God of all. And we do pray for Your mercy and love. We pray for these children that were lost. But we know that through the Scriptures we teach that the children, the young ones, have a place that's waiting for them, is with Thee. But we pray for the parents who lost these loved ones. We pray for godly parents now that they will raise their children in the admonition of Your name, that how we will love You with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength as we carry on marching Your ways, doing Your will. And we do pray and thank You for Your love and mercy in us. For Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song number 251. 251. How long has it been? First and second verse.
How long has it been since You talked with the Lord and told Him Your heart's hidden secret? Would keep
I was in Abilene, and we did these, and some of the members were just encouraged by them and said we need to do more. I believe we do need to pray more, have these opportunities to pray more. Turn to Matthew 26. In time of stress, we find Jesus, and I believe this is the greatest example that we can use, because Jesus was about to take on the sin of the world, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Let's talk about that for a second. He was about to take on the sin of the world. What would that entail? What do you think that would entail? Say again. All right. Miss Evelyn says stress. All the guilt. The guilt of mankind. Okay. Anyone else?
We know that for the first time he says, God, why are you forsaking me? This is the first time ever in all of the known history of everything beyond creation.
That's right.
That Jesus had ever been not in God's presence.
The weight in the human body of taking on the sin of the world was on him. And that's why I said this is the greatest example that we can use for someone being stressed. That Luke's account said that his sweat was like what, friends? You stressed out, Brother Royce. I've never been that stressed out. Have y'all? Mm-mm. And so, excellent points. Let's read and let's think about some things. And we'll have Brother Royce say a prayer here in a few minutes. And I'm going to ask Brother Chad if he doesn't mind leading a song after Brother Royce prays. But verse 36. And there are so many blessings in this reading, friends. Young people, listen to the prayers of Jesus. Listen to what he's going through right here, if I can say it that way. Then Jesus came with them to take a place, came to them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Is it the King James rendering says go yonder and pray? Is that King James? Say again. King James, okay. Go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Now, notice, friends, what did he say was sorrowful? Soul. Let's not run by that, okay? And so that which made him who he is, who what he was deeply distressed. Remember, he's God in the flesh. He's God in the flesh, okay? In verse number 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Notice. Stressed. But God's will was still primary, still the focal point, still the apex in his life, friends. And there was something that one of my instructors said, I won't say his name, but it's still true. He said, when in stress, you digress. Brother Don Cheek, is that real? Is that true? When in stress, you digress, you go backwards. And which makes so much sense why God wants to have us to have the mind of Christ as soon as possible, as quick as possible, so when we stress out, we go back to the mind of Christ instead of our mindset. And so here, he says he's deeply distressed. Deeply distressed. Notice verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, now watch this, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Few things. Everyone is not going to understand or experience what you're experiencing. It's no way that the disciples could really understand everything that he was going through. But you know, sometimes we expect people to understand everything we're going through, and they don't. Yet Jesus did tell them, what? Could you not stay up 1 hour? And so their bodies were tired. Their eyes were heavy. And he tells them, the spirit indeed is willing. They wanted to stay up. They were just tired. Which tells us also, friends, that people in our lives may get tired on us. But you have to remain strong in what you're going through. Again, a second time, verse 42. He went away and prayed. There's three occasions we see prayer, prayer, prayer. Second time, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Does it sound like supplication? He's saying the same thing over and over. Just a little, but it was your will be done. But he's telling them, he's telling God, can we do this another way? Paraphrasing, I guess, adding my idea to it. There another way that we can do this? He knew better than that. But the human side of him wanted to go a different route. But he knew better than that. Let's talk about that real quick. What does that teach us? When we know what the will of God is, Ephesians 5, verse number 17, is there any other way to go? No. And some of the hardest things to do is to do God's will when we want to do something else. That's what? Easier. Less stressful. That requires less out of us. Well, our prayer life should help us get through some of those things. And I want to say all of those things. But we falter. But that's why we need one another. Remember the point I made this morning with the Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through verse number 13 text. And so two is better than one. When one falls, the other one can help him. The last thing we want is to be alone when we fall. We want someone. We need somebody there. And so Jesus is feeling alone here. He really is. The Apostle Paul felt alone in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But Jesus is feeling alone here. Verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Brother Roy, you see that? The same words. His prayer did not change, really. He comes back and he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now, this is one of Brother Mike's favorite verses. Verse 46. Brother Estes, can you read that?
Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
I put a little mark in my Bible, said, my Lord is strong. He's strong. What do we learn from this before we allow our dear brother, Brother Royce, to come up here and pray for us? What do we learn from the Lord? Yes.
Well, first, I want to go back to not overlook that what Jesus said when he said, can you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, we may overlook that 1 hour, but has any of us ever prayed for an hour? And I had to ask myself that. And the last time I remember praying for that long, it was a couple times, but one was when my mother was first diagnosed with cancer. And I found out when she was in the hospital, and you just don't know what the circumstances are. Me, and it was easy, I say loosely, to pray for an hour. or for hours. When my son first went into the hospital, it was easy for me to pray for an hour. But then I think about when somebody else's mother or when somebody else's child is in the hospital, how hard it is for me to pray for a consistent hour. I'm being very transparent, and I find that that goes back to what you were saying about other people may not understand what you're going through. They may not physically be capable because they're not personally directly affected. And so I realize that sometimes when it's not affecting us, how sleepy we get. But then when it is directly affecting us, how easy it is for us to pray for that hour.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. I'm sorry. Because when it does affect us, all of our energies are there. All of our energies. That does not mean we don't care about others, but when it affects us, all of our energies are right there, like in 1 Samuel chapter 1 with Hannah being barren, really wanted a son, wanted a child. All of her energies were there, and she's just praying, back, just praying to the point where her husband thought she was drunk. And like, you,
the priest,
thank you. Thought she was drunk. Her lips was moving, nothing was coming out. All of her energies were there. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's good. It's okay. So it's not coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to come together and explain ourselves to someone before we realize what they're going through. You know what I mean?
Anyone else? Eric?
I had to make a decision one, and I had to pray for an hour, and I probably prayed longer because it was a decision on, am I going to let them put me in a home or I'm going to come to San Angelo and have a new life?
Remember that.
And then all I can say is that whole hour made me come this way.
Yeah.
And if I didn't make that decision, when I found out I got here, I was in renal failure. So on top of that also, I wouldn't have been here if I didn't come here. So, you know, that prayer for an hour can make you make the right decisions because you're giving it all to God right there to make a decision that you don't even know if it's going to be right or wrong. Kind of like when I was reading about Abraham, how he just started walking and went somewhere, and it's like he went the right way, you know. And I just see it as that way, praying an hour to make the right decision is always gonna be better just not praying at all.
And the focal point, I guess, is not really the hour, but an extended period of time focusing on the issue at hand and talking to God about that. You know, that's good. Anyone else before Brother Royce comes up? Yes.
And just the idea again, and I think you alluded to it in peace, is just because you pray for something multiple times does not make it vain repetition.
That's right.
Jesus was not guilty of vain repetition.
That's right.
It has to be more than just working thing, mouthing thing, should I say. It has to come from the depth of our being. Our prayer needs to be genuine so that it is not vain.
To capitalize on Brother Royce's point, and just because you go to God in prayer for an extended period of time doesn't mean that it's going to work out in what you think is your behalf. Say again?
It didn't work right here.
That's right.
He knew what the will of God
was. That's right. That's why he came.
He still mentioned, if there's any way, come on. You know, he was still willing to pray for it, even though he knew the answer, and that helps relieve your mind as well.
That's right. And this is where 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we're being the pillar and ground of the truth, talking to those who are on the outside, and they're blaming God for certain things that may happen into their lives and in their lives. And like, I prayed and I earnestly and I supplicated. I really went to God and it just didn't work out. Where was he? Like, whoa, 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 slow down. Even Jesus, he didn't spare his own son. So Sometimes people believe just because they went to God in prayer that it should have went the way they thought. But truth be told, in Christ, it does go the way we think, especially when we're faithful to God.